Blog Talk Radio.
Your official contact for the best alternative talk on the planet. KGRARadio.com.
Live from New York City, you are listening to Paranormal Now.
This is Paranormal Now. I'm your host, Alan B. Smith. And join us again as we traverse the cosmic highway of paranormal portals and tantalizing turnoffs. Tonight, we chat with guest Michael Eight from the paranormally and sci-fi influenced musical group Septembrio to share about his own strange experiences and his metaphysical take on it all. And I just wanted to put my my thoughts and concerns for those who may be caught in the path of Florence tonight. So we are thinking of you, and please be safe. You know, if you haven't moved out of the evacuation areas, you're probably not listening to this anyway. But needless to say, please be safe, and we're thinking about you. And I have some friends out in the western part of the state as well. I think that they're okay. But yeah, of course, we all are really concerned about that. I have some really interesting information that I wanted to share with you before I bring Michael on. And it's in relation to MUFON's report in regard to UFO sightings. And it seems pretty impressive to me. Right now, worldwide, so far this year, there's been over 7,000 sightings. And in the U.S., it's alone over 5,000 of them are from our territory here. And I think about, was it 800... if I'm wrong, correct me, but I think it's about 800 or 600 of those sightings were unidentified vehicles, unidentified flying vehicles, which, if you're familiar with MUFON's work, they're very diligent about eliminating any other possible factors that could be attributed to a flying saucer. So that's quite impressive. And I've noticed in myself that there's been a trend of more sightings being videotaped, and yet there are less sightings across the board being reported. Since 2014, the sightings have dropped off quite a bit. And, you know, I think there are several reasons for this. I think that there are social media reasons, because now you can just sort of go online and share on social media with your friends who have, you know, mutual interest in these subjects. And people are less concerned about going to actual websites and reporting. And the other thing is there's a proliferation of websites where you can report UFOs and other cryptid sightings. And because there's so many, you don't have just the two major ones like New Fork and MUFON. In each state, there's always somebody who's collecting data. So I think we're missing a huge swath of the number of sightings that are out there. You know, I don't know what MUFON or New Fork, you know, what they could possibly do about sort of bringing in those lost reports, because I feel like we're missing out on what's really going on here. I think the bigger picture is getting more difficult to see because of that sort of digital influence. But enough said about that. Instagram, follow us at Paranormal Now, or on Twitter at Paranormal_Now, or on Facebook, Paranormal Now Radio. To call in tonight and ask our guest a question, please call 657-383-0829. Again, to call in, the number is 657-383-0829. Michael Eight is a founding member of the musical group Septembrio. Making their debut with the Dream Builder EP, Septembrio became one of the first musical acts to perform for Calgary Comic Expo at the Stampede Chorale in 2012. The electro-rock project continues to combine comic sci-fi themes with her latest self-titled album and comic book, Nightmares, and All Third Eyes are on Septembrio in 2018. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the second part in, I guess we could call a series where, you know, people that I've met on Instagram and come into communications with and have asked to come on to the show, you know, kindred social media spirits, if you will. And Michael has some, his music, first of all, is great. And it literally is paranormally influenced. And I thought this would be so much fun to talk about this and share your thoughts about, as a creative person. You know, how does the paranormal influence your life, and, you know, what's happened to you that's made it so important?
Well, thank you so much. I'm really glad you like the music, first of all. And yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, my whole life, you know, I've been very interested in music. I've been writing songs for as long as I can remember. And I've had an interest in the paranormal as well. And yet for most of my life, I never saw the two intersecting. I remember being a kid and thinking, you know, when I grow up, I'm going to be a singer. But if not, I'm going to be a UFO researcher, you know. And now I kind of get to do a bit of both. They've meshed somehow, and I'm kind of living my dream life.
And UFOs, would that be the prime area of research that you would look into, or would you kind of cross, you know?
When I was a kid, that was my main obsession. Right now, most of the paranormal stuff that seems to influence my work has more to do with out of body experiences and afterlife, you know, near death experiences, things like that, that kind of have a more direct tie to us as humans than anything else. So that part seems to, in my experience, play a larger role and influence in everything that I do and everyday life, I guess.
Well, what's the one experience that was most life-changing, if you will, or perception-altering that occurred to you?
Well, this is a tough thing to narrow down, because for most of my life, if you were to ask me, have I experienced anything paranormal, I would have told you no. But in the last decade or so, looking back, I'm starting to recognize certain experiences as being potentially paranormal. But despite me having this interest in the subject, a lot of the experiences that I had, I completely dismissed because they didn't fit in some of the boxes that I was interested in. And, you know, because, you know, I've never saw a UFO, never seen anything that I would call a ghost or but there are other things I can't explain, and this is kind of the reason why I think the supernatural might end up being a universal human experience rather than rare isolated experiences. I think we all have them, but I think they're so subtle and so constant in our lives that we don't see them half the time. I'll give you one example of, like, the earliest one I can remember that I dismissed. I was 14, and I was with a couple friends. We used to play a game where I would do some improv on the phone with random numbers. So my friends would dial a number, and they would hand me the phone, and I would see how long I could keep somebody on the other end for. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't plan anything. I would just talk. And it was really funny. There, you know, we had a lot of great experiences doing that. And it was pretty harmless, too. But in the event where I would draw a blank and I couldn't think of anything, my go-to would always be, I would ask for a specific name, because then, you know, the person on the other line could just be, oh, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. And, I would usually make it a pretty, you know, uncommon name so that I can ensure a wrong number. So this particular time, my friend, I think it was my friend that dialed the number. I don't think it was me. But he hands me the phone. And for whatever reason, the gears just aren't turning. So I'm like, ah, abort. So, you know, person answers, hello. I'm like, hi, is Troy there? And that was the first name that came to mind. Mm-hmm. One, because it's a pretty unique name. At that time, I had only met one Troy in my life. And even now, I think I've only met two ever. And of course, you know, the person on the other line says, yeah, hold on one second. So I'm like, ah, crap, you know, now, what do I do, right? So I think, all right, well, I'm just going to describe the Troy that I thought of. And when they realize I have the wrong Troy, then they'll just hang up. So Troy comes on the phone, and I'm like, hey, Troy, it's Michael, you know, and I, you know, say my full name, and I'm like, we used to go to school together, like back in grade three, like elementary. Do you remember that? And then he's like, whoa, in Mrs. So-and-so's class. And he said the teacher's name. And it turned out to be that Troy.
Holy
and,
cow.
And yeah, like, so like I gave him my full name and I said in our grade three class, you know, and I think I might've said the school name or something. But then he gave the teacher's name. So it was like, it was very much, he was that person and he gave enough details to confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just blew my mind. I didn't know what to do with it. So he recognized it as something meaningful, obviously, because he was like, he's like, how did you find my number? I'm like, I didn't know what to tell him. So I had to just say, listen, I just told him the truth. I'm like, my friends dialed a random number, gave him the whole spiel. I'm like, that's what happened. And he's like, well, I'm over here in this area of the city, which happened to be a 15-minute walk from where I was. And so he's like, we should meet up. And I was like, totally, yeah, let's meet up. Let's do that. And then I hung up the phone, and you know, I just said to my friends, yeah, forget that. And I totally brushed it off and never thought about it again, which is really interesting because at that time, I was really interested in paranormal things, but I didn't recognize that experience for what it was. Mm-hmm. And it also kind of like freaked me out a bit. So, you know, if that kind of thing were to happen to me now, no question, I would have met up with that person. I would have realized that there is mm-hmm. something to it. There's meaning, you know, but at that time, you know, I couldn't wrap my head around it. I very much took it for granted, and I couldn't, like, I couldn't begin to understand what it meant. So it didn't happen. And then I didn't think about it for a long time. And so going through my life history there, you know, once I start examining it, there's plenty of experiences like that where I've kind of just put in the back of my mind and forgotten about. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we do all the time in our lives. We, you know, we hear our voices being, you know, we hear our name being called, and then, you know, maybe it sounds just like, you know, your grandmother calling you, but we dismiss it because that's crazy, you know. And the interesting thing about what I do, the fact that the paranormal is so tied into my music, is that I have this sort of license to talk about it and not be judged, because people either assume that either they believe in it too and I'm telling the truth, or they're like, well, he's marketing his new album, so whatever, you know. So I kind of immune from people thinking I'm crazy, but at the same time, I don't really care. But because of that, because I am open about it, you wouldn't believe the number of people that come to me and tell me their own stories. There's always somebody that's just, it's like they're dying to get it out. Like they've been hanging on to this experience. They have no one they can talk to. And then mm-hmm. suddenly there's somebody they can relate to, and they let it out. And that happens more than I can even describe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like anything, right? If you're keeping something to yourself, or you feel like, you know, you're the only one, then when you get to talk to somebody, it's like, ah, it's a relief. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people still deal with, especially if you are an experiencer where you've had a close encounter with some kind of creature or alien, an abduction, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, those people have the most difficult time coming out and sharing that. You know, it's a lot easier to come out and post a video online and say, oh, we saw this UFO way out in the distance. You know, people will look at it and say, okay, yeah, you saw a UFO. It's an unidentified flying object. And they may not necessarily judge you. But if you say, I had this very intimate, strange experience, then people kind of get that I'm going to back away look in their eye.
Which
I've always found really, really odd. You know, especially being, you know, raised in America, you know, where the majority of the populace you know, believes in religions that have a very rich mythology of strange creatures and heavenly creatures and underworld creatures. And it's like, okay, so we're okay believing in all that. But if somebody at work, you know, were to talk about the strange experience, you know, they're sort of ostracized or snickered at. I think it's an odd thing.
Right. And then what's doubly odd is that given the sheer numbers of people that I just hear from personally, it almost seems like every person I met has come to me and has told me something, you know, and the fact that it seems that everybody has some kind of experience that they can't explain. If people were talking about it, maybe we wouldn't feel the need to hide it, but it feels like everybody's hiding something. So that's what's really interesting.
Do you think that it's mostly because of your music or just sort of who you are as a person that attracts these people?
I think it's a couple factors. I think the way I treat it is pretty open and casually. So they know that if they come to me, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, that means this and you should join this cult. You know, you know, it's pretty loose. It's pretty casual. I think people feel safe in that way because, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm encouraging these questions and I'm encouraging interest in the paranormal, but I'm not really trying to feed people answers about it either, because what do I know? And then I think, you know, I think law of attraction is something I definitely subscribe to, you know, more recently in my life. And I think just when you put something out there, you attract people that are kind of on the same wavelength. So the fact that I'm really interested in these things, they're just going to be drawn to me and I'm going to be drawn to them. So I think it's a couple factors like that.
Yeah. Well, as far as your music goes, do you consciously think about, you know, these paranormal experiences that you've had and write with those things in mind, or is it more just an undercurrent? It's just a part of who you are and you know, feel the informing of it. Or do you consciously think, okay, I want to add this to the song? Or
no,
obviously some
of
your songs,
so
the Stranger Things are yes, but for the rest of the music.
Right. Well, I can't, for as far as the music goes, I can't consciously decide anything. It's all very, just free flowing and it's just all inspiration. So there's no, conscious decision to do these things. And in fact, a lot of my music is actually just about everyday relatable experiences, filtered through paranormal metaphor. But, you know, the metaphors are often based on, you know, either experiences I've had or read about. And there's definitely parallels. Like, for example, you know, I have a song on my last album called -55, and I wrote it about people who are energy vampires that just, you know, they feed off you, they drain you, and we've all encountered people like that. But there's definitely, like, the music video itself, and even in the comic book, there are literal energy vampires, you know, like people reporting seeing shadow people like the Hat Man and so on. So those are parallels that kind of come together in the music and the comic book that, you know, anyone could kind of relate to no matter what your experience is. So that kind of thing happens a lot in my music. It's about, you know, everyday accepted human experiences, but it's also about, you know, human experiences that are not quite accepted right now in the world of the paranormal. So,
yeah, well, we know for a fact that the human body does emit a certain amount of magnetic energy. And you know, you can argue auras back and forth, but we do emit an energy, and much of that is concentrated from the heart zone. And, you know, I wonder when you play a song or you're listening to music, what is being affected that really enchants you? Is it the sound going into your ear, into your brain, or is the music, you know, interacting with this sort of energy field that is a part of us that we admit? Is that Does that play into it, do you think, or do you think it's just purely auditory brain experience?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because the entire universe is vibration, you know, and that's exactly what music is too. And I think that's why it's so universally beloved by everybody. You know, different types of music by different people, and I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, where that person is vibrationally at any point in their life. You know, like a lot of us in our adolescent years, we're drawn to more angrier music because we're going through some, you know, chaotic times and difficult times, difficult changes. And so we're drawn to, you know, music that matches what we feel and experience. And I think that's not a coincidence. I think there's a reason why certain people resonate with certain music and others don't. It really has more to do with where are we at? And, you know, we use a lot of words like resonate and vibes and stuff, but and we think we're using them figuratively, but it seems that they're actually quite literal. So I think music really just taps into who we really are and how that connects with everything in the universe, I guess. So that's interesting to think about.
I use vibes quite literally when I use it, and I have for the longest time. It's funny you say that too about music. You know, I listened to a certain amount of punk music when I was younger, and as time went on, and this is not a judgment to those who are, you know, full-blown adults still listening to NoFX and, you know, and No Use for a Name, but as time went on, I was listening to it less and less. You know, Rage Against the Machine, I think, is still one of the greatest bands out of the 90s. I mean, I still put them on once in a while, but I don't listen to the angrier music as frequently as I used to.
Exactly. Yeah, and again, it's not putting anyone down that is, you know, still listening to that in an older age or whatever, because it's nothing to do with age or maturity. You know, I think it just has to do with, you know, something else completely, you know, just like where you're, how you're just feeling in general at any given time. And, I think the one thing that a lot of people overlook is, the power of anger. You know, when you're in a place that, you know, you feel powerless and you're depressed or whatever, getting angry is actually a much better feeling. So it's, you're making progress. Of course, you know, nobody around you wants you to be angry because they got to deal with you. But it's like, you have to go through those motions. You have to get angry before you can start to feel hope again, because then you're actually doing something. So it's like these songs that are angry, they're not actually, you know, there's always that parental advisory stuff going on and, you know, certain politicians disapproving of certain music and all that, but it's all a very powerful tool. I think that's what music is. It's, we put on a song that's going to take us from one place and take us to another place of feeling, but it has to be somewhere where we can actually meet up and align with it. Like when you're feeling really sad, there's a reason why you can't just put on a Justin Bieber song and feel as happy as he does. You know, you got to find somewhere else that's going to meet you where you are and bring you into a better feeling place, even if that better feeling place is anger. So I think just music is so, such a powerful tool in doing that, in raising our vibration in general.
I think you're right. You make a good point taking you to another place, because you can put a song on that just makes you feel elated and joyous, but if you keep listening to it over and 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 over again, eventually the effect will start to wear off little by little. And then where are you?
Right.
You know, like, it'll help you get to a different place, but you have to know what that place is, I think, in order to sort of hold it. You know, it's interesting. Alanis Morissette, you know, kind of going through my 90s phase, you know, started listening to her stuff again, right? And when she plays live now, her music, she's not doing the angry, harder version of her songs when Jagged Little Pill came out.
Completely different.
She's singing the same songs with the same message in the lyrics, but she has mellowed out because she as a person has changed. You know, she's focused
right.
on being more centered and more calm and still being an activist in her own right without the angst, you know. That said, I still enjoy listening to her songs too. But I, you know, I have to give her credit for not feeling the need to give in to what is expected. You know, a fan
exactly
that,
the,
to play
the
her
pressure
music just
to be
like that.
Yeah, the pressure to be somebody else, even if that someone else was who you used to be. You know, you need to
right,
be true
right.
to who you
mm-hmm.
are right now.
Yeah. Is there any music that you love that is sort of in your everyday or every month repertoire that you've been listening to since you were young?
Well, since I was young, oh man, that's
yeah,
you know,
like,
80s
you know,
music in general.
Yeah.
There's not much music out there. Like, I used to be a huge Michael Jackson fan, and you know, these days, like Michael, I owe Michael Jackson a lot. You know, he inspired me so much. Even in my writing today, there's this big epic cinematicness to it all that I can definitely derive from Michael Jackson. I can see that influence from there. But I'm not as passionate about his music today as I was when, you know, growing up. But 80s music in general, like new wave and anything synthy, has always stayed with me. And especially the new stuff that I'm doing right now, like it's kind of really funny because I'm at this point where, yeah, I'm like you, you know, I used to listen to a lot of punk and hardcore stuff. Like Glassjaw is one of my favorite bands who have influenced me quite a bit, like Thrice, you know, and different things like that. And so, you know, I would listen to a lot of that music and they would come from those places. And so a lot of my songwriting has been kind of in this underground space for a really long time. But it's interesting because I'm watching what's happening in the mainstream in the top 40 is that now they're starting to do a lot of this really vibey, new wavy stuff is coming back. And it's like somehow my music and the mainstream has taken two separate paths that couldn't be further from each other, but somehow we have intersected in what's happening right now. So this new album that I'm actually just wrapping up mixing right now is filled with a lot of songs that are still very Septembrial, but they're very marketable right now. And I did not predict that happening. So
yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting that the new wave and like the electro rock, there is something about that music that stimulates, I feel, the more metaphysical, for lack of a better word, you know, part of the brain. You know, when Tron came out in 2000, Tron the sequel came out in 2008. That's when I first noticed.
Yeah, the Daft Punk soundtrack.
Yeah, it was what an amazing soundtrack.
It was amazing.
And then it was not too long after that, I think, that music started catching fire again, because people who grew up in the 80s were the ones writing the music. And
And
then obviously it came to like a peak with Stranger Things. And then now all of a sudden it's like super cool to have, you know, the synthesizer sounds that were considered 20 years ago, 15 years ago, cheesy, you know, are now...
right.
And it's funny, I asked you that question about who do you listen to regularly, if you do. There has been one artist that I've listened to regularly since I was, you know, early mid-teens.
Enya,
like,
oh my God, yeah.
Yes, of all of the artists, is she considered the most, like, the highest and most refined or the most groundbreaking? No. But for some reason, every once in a while, I put some Enya in, and I feel better. It just works every time.
You know, there's something to be said that I'm kind of discovering now, and I think I want to start writing some stuff like this. But meditation music, you know, very much, you know, Enya's very much in line with meditation music and stuff. What's really interesting is that, you know, we're talking about how music affects your moods. And it really depends on what mood are you currently in and what can you listen to. But when it comes to meditation music and things like Enya and Sade and, you know, those really mellow vibe tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So it really does not matter what mood you're in, you know, like if you're feeling pretty calm and content, you can put that on and you align with it. If you're feeling just completely depressed, you can put that on and just melt away. And it's really interesting because I began the practice of meditation just maybe 2 years ago. And meditation seems to be the tool that you can use at any point, you know, no matter what you're feeling, to just get you centered. Because I'm going to go off on a little tangent here, but meditation, as many people know, is just kind of a way to still your mind, right? And I did a little mini blog about this a little while ago. You might have seen it, but basically compared our thoughts to like a train with two engines on each end. And so one engine is fed by positive thoughts. It makes the train go in one direction, and the other engine is powered by negative thoughts. And of course, you know, momentum is a thing. So if you've ever got upset about something and then just kind of went off on a tangent in your head, and then suddenly you're starting to think about all these other things that aren't related, but they upset you just the same. And it's something you can't stop thinking about it. That's momentum building. What meditation does is it stops the thoughts from making the train go in either direction. And it makes the train just go on a standstill. And what I find is really interesting is when you're able to do that, one thing you'll find is that the track that the train is on is actually on a slope that is going down towards the positive side. And so if you were to actually just still your mind enough, you're going to naturally feel better. And then you're going to start thinking more positive thoughts when you come out of it. So that's what's really interesting about meditation music, is you could put it on at any time. And it will make you feel better because it puts you in that state. So,
have you thought about doing therapy?
Have I thought about doing therapy?
Mm-hmm.
On myself? you know,
for others,
music
therapy by Michael Eight.
I was really interested in psychology and stuff growing up, and you know, I still am. I think, in a way, that part of me that likes to help people and open up to people and open up to them is I'm getting fulfilled in that area through my music and through my art. So, because, you know, again, when these people come to me with their stories and their experiences, I guess it's kind of like that, you know, you can see that they're definitely getting this relief out of it, and I'm getting something out of it too, that connection. That's the most valuable thing in my experience as an artist, is getting to connect with people. You know, you're talking about you meeting people through Instagram and bonding with them that way. That's been a really great experience for me, is connecting with like-minded people and just sharing those experiences and having those conversations. It's probably the most fulfilling part about being a musician I can think of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're also are you married? And I know you have kids.
I do have kids. I'm not technically married, but common law, basically. My girlfriend and I will be celebrating 12 years in November.
Nice.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, I mean, no one needs to be married. Love is love, and you have common law, so that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But do you feel like you know, you can teach your kids with your music as you raise them? Can you use your music as sort of a tool to keep them, you know, centered and balanced and focused?
I guess it's different because we're so close. I mean, you can tell your kids anything you want to, and they're just going to learn from what you do, I think. So
that's,
whether or not, that's a good point. You know?
Yeah.
On that note, I am, you know, I remember when, you know, we first became pregnant with our son and, you know,
well, you know what, Michael, hold it right there. Cause we're going to come up to the first break, and during this break, we're actually going to play one of Michael's songs from Septembrio songs, for you, so you can get a better sense of his music. And then later on, we'll play another piece as well. So hang in there. We'll be right back, and you'll definitely want to listen to this music. So don't go away. This is Alan B. Smith for Paranormal Now. We will be right back.
For years, the KGRA Digital Broadcast Station has been your contact for live UFO paranormal talk radio worldwide, bringing you the top names in research and investigations 7 nights a week. Our listeners connect to the KGRA on various platforms like TalkStream Live, TuneIn, Spreaker, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and many more. Now, you can stream your favorite paranormal talk radio shows with our new, fully integrated custom KGRA mobile apps for Android and iPhones. Listen to your favorite paranormal talk shows from any mobile device 24/7, free with smartphone or tablet. Utilize custom features to access news, show pages, archives, contests, events, and live interactive chat room. Set show notification alerts and never miss your favorite live programs. All free and available to download in Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
To Paranormal Now. This is your host, Alan B. Smith. And we were listening to January Wait, music by Septembrio, by founder Michael Eight. And if you want to find out more about their music and about Michael, go to www.septembrio.com. That's spelled SEPTEMBRYO.com. And of course, you can go to YouTube as well and check out all their music there. And Spotify, iTunes, or Septembrio, at Septembrio on Instagram, which is actually where we bumped into each other. So, Michael, this is a beautiful song. I mean, I really love this song. It might be my favorite.
Do you want to tell us
a little bit about it? Sure, yeah.
What's really interesting is you chose that song because right before you played it, we started talking about, my wife and kids and my girlfriend, common law, whatever you want to say. She is actually featured on that song. Her name is Lissette Xavier, and she's a musician as well. So that's pretty interesting that you played that then. It was really good timing.
But, yeah, well, I do like the harmonics there. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's interesting. The other thing about that song is, like, that's one of the few that's pretty much just, you know, straightforward breakup song. I don't think there's really any synchronistic, spiritual, or paranormal element to it. It's just kind of a nice song, and the message is kind of about like a past relationship that ended, and it was just kind of realizing how many people stay in the same relationship or they stay in the same job just because they're scared of moving on or they don't want to break up the routine. And even if they know that it's not right for their lives, they'll stay in situations that aren't necessarily good for them. And so that's what that song is genuinely about. It's just about moving on, even if it hurts, because it's going to be better for you in the long run.
So the next song that I want to play in a little bit was inspired actually by Stranger Things, and you really can't get any more paranormal than that. And I wanted to ask you, because you obviously have an interest in science fiction and fantasy, and you have this comic book that's going to be associated with the album that's coming out. Can you tell us a bit more about the comic book and what it is and how it relates to the album?
Definitely. Well, first off, I'll tell you about, I first started watching Stranger Things because I had several Septembrial fans message me telling me that I need to watch it because it reminds them so much of Septembrial. So if there are Stranger fans listening right now, there's probably a really good chance you'll enjoy the Septembrial comic book. The Septembrial comic book is about, it's somewhat autobiographical, although I didn't intend it for it to be. It's about a down on his luck musician who kind of starts to question everything he believes until this freak accident kind of thrusts him into the world of the paranormal. And it mainly deals with out of body experiences and ghosts and demons and things of that kind of supernatural nature. And the stories, the themes in the stories, like I mentioned earlier, tie into the music quite a bit. The album that song that you played is from is pretty much the soundtrack to the book. We are 4 issues in right now. There will be a run of 8 issues total because it was written as a full graphic novel. And so we just got 4 more to go. If you look at issue 1 and the album cover, it's the same artwork. So the songs very much are tied together, and it's something a lot of people have said they enjoyed, reading while listening to the music. But again, they're definitely things that are meant to be enjoyed separately. You do not need the album to enjoy the book, and you don't need the book to enjoy the album. It would be pretty cool to bring back those audio tapes of like children's books, like turn the page when you hear the chimes. Those are rad.
I remember the Choose Your Own Adventure, and you would skip to a different chapter, and all of a sudden the storyline would go in a different direction. I love those books. But let's play that song now, since we're talking about Stranger Things anyway. It really is cool, but what I did is I edited it so it doesn't start at the beginning. It starts a little bit later, closer to where the lyrics come in.
Just the Stranger Things theme up until the lyrics start, so yeah.
Yeah, but you can hear it. You can hear it in the music, and it's really cool. I encourage people to listen to the lyrics, because it's kind of like a geeked out kind of thing. If you're a fan of Stranger Things, you'll definitely get it. So, all right, here we go. Friends Don't Lie by September Yeo, obviously, inspired and driven by the Stranger Things theme song. And I love, what I love about this is, because you can go on YouTube and find so many other takes on the Stranger Things theme song, but you take it actually seriously, do you know? And you reference the show and things that are said by Eleven, and like, Do I Feel Pretty? And it actually feels a little moving, you know. It touches you. Yeah. Unless it was meant to be a joke altogether, and I totally am off.
No.
Point, okay.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, like I don't consciously make any decisions when it comes to music. It's just inspiration. And so I do a couple songs. I have the Stranger Things theme out there, and I also have a version of the X-Files theme with lyrics. And that was the first one that I had done like that. And what I did with the X-Files theme was I took all the slogans from the intro, like trust no one, the truth is out there, I want to believe, deny everything. There was a ton of them. And I wrote all the lyrics based on that. So basically I just kind of acted like it was like this fun puzzle to figure out, like, how am I going to create this narrative using all these lines? And before I knew it, there was this theme that emerged. And so the X-Files song is called I Want to Believe. And it ended up being about an individual's choice to give in to their pessimistic beliefs or their optimistic beliefs. And so I think one of the lines is, should I, I can't even think of my own lyrics here. Cause now I got Stranger Things stuck in my head. But yeah,
not in common with musicians.
What's interesting about these songs is that, they are using the themes in the shows and different lines and different Easter eggs like that. They have somehow formed together to make this cohesive narrative. And the song is actually about something. And not just, this show is called Stranger Things and I like it, you know. So that's the fun part about the creative process, is that oftentimes the end result will surprise, you know, even you, the one creating it. And so these songs were a genuine blast to make. And and yeah, it is, because I did, you know, put my heart into them. I did take them seriously. And it's a genuine love of the properties that I think has made it into something that people resonate with. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I noticed comparing it to other people who use the theme song to create something of their own and post it. You know, there was a certain reverence for the music and the importance of it in relation to the show, which I just really appreciated the respect that you had for that. Are you a binge watcher? Would you sit there and binge through Stranger Things, or do you like to sort of pace it out?
I don't have much time to watch many things, but Stranger Things was definitely something I wanted to binge.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely had to practice some restraint there because, you know, yeah, we got a busy life, you know, like both of us, you know, both parents here are musicians. You know, I still technically have a day job, you know, and then there's the music mm-hmm. and the comics. So I don't get a lot of time.
But Dad, I'm hungry. Just one more episode.
Just one. Oh, my. Yeah, it was very hard. I definitely wanted to binge that show for sure.
Okay, so now, obviously you're a sci-fi and fantasy, you know, interested person. I'm going to ask you a very controversial question, and I did not prep you for this, for on the air question.
Okay.
Did you or did you not like The Last Jedi?
You know what? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, so in a way, you're kind of off the hook.
I'm actually very far behind on Star Wars, which is interesting because my next song is a Star Wars song, and I don't have it released online yet, but I've been playing at shows, and it seems to be everybody's favorite that I do. But so I have seen, based on what, like, I'm a huge DC fan,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm no stranger to, you know, the internet criticizing films that are, you know, dividing audience, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it seems to be a similar situation with The Last Jedi, just from what I've heard about it. I don't think the criticisms that I'm hearing will really affect my enjoyment of the film.
Sure.
When I do see it. It just seems to be that kind of thing. So
yeah.
If I were to give my prediction, I think I will enjoy The Last Jedi when I see it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to hear I'd like to hear your opinion when you do watch it. For me, and this posting is still on the Instagram page, when I came back from the theater, I liked it. I did. Mm-hmm. I liked it. Even though when I was watching it, I was like, "Ooh, this is weird. This is strange." But the overall package I enjoyed, but as time went on, certain things started nagging at me and I started thinking about them. And then when I started thinking about them, my opinion really started to flip.
Cause I hear they switched things up a little bit.
They did. And it was, my personal opinion was there were things that the attempt was very cool. Like I appreciate what they were trying to do. I just think that there were a number of things that were overlooked that, later, as I thought about it, undermined what they were trying to do. So I appreciate their effort. That said, as a movie, if it's just a science fiction movie, it's a fun movie to watch. I mean, hands down.
Right.
But as a Star Wars movie and some plot points, I just thought were iffy. Yeah.
That's the difficult thing when a property like Star Wars or like, you know, the DC universe that has been in the public consciousness for so long, and it means different things to different people. And when it starts getting passed into different hands, you know, the people behind these new films, they might really enjoy Star Wars for different reasons than you have. And so that's where it gets really messy, is when these beloved, iconic characters, you know, when you create something new with it, it's very hard to please everybody because everybody has a perspective of what it should be. So I definitely feel for the filmmakers out there tackling these properties because, you know, somebody's and with the internet, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear from the people that didn't enjoy your work. So their voices are louder than ever. So,
yeah. It's tough. And I'm sure it's musicians have the same or similar issue, especially if you start changing the style of music a little bit, because people start listening to music and then the artist starts changing the type of music that they play, and then fans get angry. You know,
right.
So, you know, it's not easy for the creative person to have to work within a paradigm, because there is that practical side, right? I mean, you want people to show up and listen. You want people to show up and buy tickets. How far away do you go from the original brand without losing everybody? Because
Yeah, it ties into what we mentioned earlier about, you know, the pressure to be someone else, even if that someone else was who you used to be. You know, there's the part of you that, you know, your fans expect a certain something of you, and that's why they're fans, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So the question is, do I respect those fans? Do I give them what they want and just do what I did before? Or do I respect the fans enough to apply the same process that gave them what they love so much, which is being honest and letting it flow? Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you allow yourself to listen to these, you know, these voices of expectation, it's going to ruin your process. And if people don't like it anyways, you're really just missing out, because then, you know, maybe you won't like it either. So that's kind of my principle when it comes to writing music, is that I need to be a fan of it first, because I don't know how it's going to go out there. And so if nobody else likes it, at least I can be like, this was an honest attempt, and I'm a fan of what I did, you know, which is this new album that I'm doing. It was a little bit of a concern, because for whatever reason, these group of songs that I did, you know, a lot of my songs in the past were guitar based, and just for whatever reason this time around, I wasn't really being inspired on guitar. I moved very much more towards keys and, you know, piano and synths a lot more than I had in the past. So I was a little worried about how September fans might take it. But the few people that have heard the sneak peeks that I've been kind of privately given are assuring me that it's very September. So that's comforting to hear. So I definitely relate to that struggle.
That's great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing it too. And as soon as it's out, you know, please let me know. And as soon as you watch Stranger Things, I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. Maybe we can have you back on.
Oh, Star Wars, yes.
Or Star Wars, yeah. Did you watch the Force Awakens as well, or did you skip that too?
No, I'm behind on Star Wars. So I was I did attempt to watch Force Awakens, and this is why I'm way behind. Is because I was babysitting my nephews with my kids, and so could not focus on the film at all. So I'm going to have to watch Force Awakens again, and then I can watch Last Jedi.
Gotcha.
And then I'll be all caught up, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for coming on, Mike. I've really enjoyed the conversation. And if people want to find out more about you and your music, where should they go?
For social media, Instagram is pretty much my home. That's where you're going to get the most of me from Septembrio. You can find me on YouTube. There's a lot of music videos on there that connect to the comic. You can preview the comic book at septembrio.com/comic. And you can actually purchase comics at septembrio.com. And we are prepping the comics for digital release soon as well for Comic Central. So keep an eye out for that, because then they'll be available worldwide. And yeah, basically, September.com, you can find everything. Google September, you'll only find me. And yeah,
all right.
That's where I'll be.
Well, that's it. Cool. Thanks, Mike. This is Alan B. Smith for Paranormal Now. I want to thank Race Hobbs from KGRA Radio. We are still in limbo, but we are moving over there eventually. As usual, I will keep you posted in that news. And instead of the usual theme song for Paranormal, we'll leave you with September's 1111. Have a good night, everyone, and be well.
Thank you, Alan.
I see the numbers 1111, 111, 222.
I see 1111.